Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three, and that means it's time to Ask T. Frank. I'm Jim Galante, along with Thomas Frank Carr. This is where we have T. Frank answer your Penn State football or recruiting questions, or questions about life. We got to throw that in there also, T. Frank. So if you
want to submit your questions, my life advice, though. Nobody likes my life advice.
But you offer it anyway. You told us about how you handle compost. I'm sure a lot of people were taking notes on that.
Exactly.
And if you missed that, go back to segment number one, and you'll hear T. Frank's theory on compost and not leaving it in the house. And if you want to submit a question to T. Frank about compost or any other topic, download our app from the App Store. Just search on Keystone Sports, and if you want to do it the other way, you can email us at info@ksnsports.net. At the end of the segment, T. Frank will pick out the best question, and the winner will get the great KSN sweatshirt. Are you ready, T. Frank?
Ready. Let's do it.
All right, let's start with Brian from Georgia, who says, the last several preseasons, we've expected the offensive line to be one of the dominant units on the team, only to be disappointed by season's end. Considering the possible loss of Caden Wallace and Rashid Walker to the NFL, does Penn State have sufficient young talent to be better next season?
Caden Wallace is going to the NFL?
Well, prior to the season, there was talk of that. I'm not so sure now.
He started 84 snaps. I'm sorry, Juice Scruggs started 84 snaps last season. Caden Wallace started like 300. So this is, again, the problem of taking anything that happened in 2020 seriously, like with any sort of legitimate translatable fact to the next year. Last season, I understand that there were some positive signs, but I talked about this in the preseason of everyone was on the Penn State offensive line in this way, and I said the right side of the line has zero starting experience, realistically. The only guys that have any sort of starting significance were Rashid Walker and Mike Miranda. Mike Miranda's at a new position, and we've seen that didn't go well. Rashid Walker, to me, is the biggest disappointment because he was, in my opinion, poised for that moment to be a great offensive tackle, to be the leader of this offense, and to make a real difference both as a run blocker, especially from what we've seen of him in the past. Even in 2019, he was good at that. And then as a pass blocker to be, you know, elevate his play there. He, to me, is the only guy on this offensive line where there shouldn't have been any questions, and he has performed subpar so far. Eric Wilson is another guy that I thought would be a good pass protector, and that's what I was expecting out of him, and that's what he's been. But he is not a good run blocker because he's not a big physical guy. So I understand that the expectation and the hype were one thing, but if you look at the concerning factors around, I'm not trying to tell you I told you so. I'm just saying, like, there are other factors that people were not paying attention to until right now. And then on the other side of that, inside, and I've talked about this 100 times on this show, you have a guy who is 308, you have a guy who's 305, and you have a guy who's about 300 pounds. Like, those are big guys for 1974. They are not big for 2021. They do not have the beef in the middle to move people. Caden Wallace has struggled in real game situations in this particular offense that's going to ask him to pass block. Like, last year was not the offense. It was a read option, or it was like Army. It was a triple option offense, essentially. That's not what they're running this year, so it's putting all these guys in different situations and scenarios against better opponents, and they're not playing to the level they did in 2020 because that was a mirage.
I do think Penn State fans are fair to say we expected better than what we're getting.
Even if you
didn't expect elite, you expected at least average. And they haven't gotten it, and it's been frustrating for the Penn State fans. Let's move on. Let's go to Kurt in Lehigh Valley, who says, given the crowded quarterback room at Ohio State, what are the chances Kyle McCord transfers to Penn State after the season? Just a reminder, Kyle McCord went to high school, Philadelphia, St. Joe's Prep, I believe it was, but he's not from Pennsylvania. He's from New Jersey, for what that's worth. So anyway, Kurt wants to know about Kyle McCord transferring to Penn State.
It would take a shift in philosophy from James Franklin that I haven't seen yet. So we could see a difference here. If James Franklin wants to throw down the gauntlet and he wants to remove all of the unwritten rules and he wants to recruit kids from other Big Ten schools, then it is a realistic thing because Kyle McCord has a relationship, I believe, with Mike Yurcich and, of course, with the Penn State coaching staff because he was recruited by the Nittany Lions. So that part fits, but so far, James Franklin has not taken players from other Big Ten schools. If that happens, then the recruiting, the transfer portal, it's the Wild West for Penn State. Like, they have broken down that final barrier, and they don't care anymore. They're just going to go get the best guys. Is the quarterback situation a different situation than any other position? I mean, yes, but also, will they treat it that way? That's what I don't know. It makes sense. It is a fit. I just don't know if James Franklin's going to do that because doing things the right way has mattered to him. And that seems like one of those things that he would not want somebody else to do to him. And it's only happened so far once with the linebacker that went to Michigan this offseason. And I just don't see that happening as of now. I would have to see it first before it happens.
When you say it hasn't happened before, are you talking about transfers within the Big Ten?
I'm saying James Franklin taking transfers from Big Ten schools.
Okay, gotcha. Just the James Franklin with the deal.
Yeah. Other schools have taken transfers from other Big Ten programs, but Penn State has not.
Okay. With the next season, I would think the big variable is, does Sean Clifford come back or not? If Sean Clifford doesn't come back, your only quarterback who's taken a snap in college football is Taquan Roberson. And it seems like every indication is the coaching staff has little or no confidence in him at all.
He was also not at practice on Wednesday and didn't make the trip with Penn State. And we don't know the status there. We might find out this week, but we don't know what's up with Taquan Roberson at this point.
I thought Roberson, he was asked about that not being at practice. I thought James Franklin said he was at practice earlier, but the media just didn't see him. Or is that wink,
sure. Wink? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
But he didn't know. He didn't make the trip.
The number two quarterback going to Ohio State in a game you have to have didn't make the trip. I'm just saying. There's some stuff there. I don't know what it is, but something's going on.
I was not aware of that. All right, let's move on. Staying along the quarterback path, Bob from Millerstown says, T-Fank, really enjoy your expert insight into Penn State football, and that's true whether we win or lose. My question, considering Drew Aller is now the number one quarterback in the 22 class and will be coached by supposed quarterback guru Mike Yurcich, could he start next year? And I see Oklahoma is now starting a freshman who was number one in the 21 class.
So if kind of like the Sean Clifford question, if it were a month ago, people would have not wanted this to happen, where they want him to come back for 2022, and now people want him back for 2022 after a good game. So it's going to keep going either way with Sean Clifford and his performance. A month ago, I would have said no about Drew Aller, because there were some issues, and I've talked about this plenty of times, with his footwork and some of his mechanics that needed to be fixed. You don't want those bad habits ingrained through playing and ingraining those bad habits because you're reacting and not fixing that over time. He has done that already. So he is already fixing that, and I give him a ton of credit to be able to do that and to be able to improve upon those things that he knew about and was working on but hadn't seen the results of it until the last probably month of his season. Now, I have to go down and really look at the film and really look at his footwork to see if this is a lucky streak of good passes and it's just variance, or if he's actually really, really fixed his front foot and that mechanic of stepping into his throws. Because that is a fundamental thing, but then just in general, playing a freshman quarterback, it is a very hard thing. And he does make a good case for himself of his offense in high school puts a lot on his shoulders. So I'm leaving the door open for it for the first time ever. I am deciding at this point right now on the Keystone Kickoff Show, I will entertain that idea in 2022. So I think that changing your mind is a good thing. New evidence has come to light, man. Here we go.
Times and circumstances change, T. Frank. That's what I've been told in the past. And, of course, a lot of this is going to depend on what Sean Clifford does. If he chooses to come back, he's going to be the number one guy. I would argue that would be the best-case scenario. You get Sean Clifford for one more year. Drew Aller or Bo Prabula gets a year to watch and then take over. All right, let's go to Mike in Colorado who says, "Hey, T, how do they keep the team motivated after three losses? If James Franklin stays, do you see any coaching changes? Feels like it's a good staff, but the offensive line needs to get better. Might that just be talent or coaching?"
So it's talent and coaching in the sense that I genuinely don't know why Rashid Walker has regressed. My only supposition is that Phil Troutwine is teaching him and reworking his tools. And everything we just said about Drew Aller and relearning his mechanics at the position, Rashid Walker is a redshirt junior. And if that is the case, and this is something I asked Phil Troutwine about, it is something they're reworking how they work from the ground up from a technical standpoint. And if you unlearn habits, it's really hard to do that and perform at a high level. And Rashid Walker, that's my theory as to why he's struggling. So I don't think it's coaching in a bad way. I think it's coaching in they're trying to retrain him to be better than he was before because there was definitely a limit on how he was going to perform the way he was playing before. Just the offensive line is not functioning because I don't feel they have the right pieces and the right system to all mesh together. They're just the performance up front from a play perspective is not good enough. There's nothing that's changed under James Franklin drastically where they're so bad at running. They've never been a run-first team or a team that's been great at it, but they're especially bad this year. And to me, that screams of personnel, and that screams of working on these things behind the scenes. So, what was the original question of how they keep the team motivated? I mean, I'm not a coach. I see the X's and O's. These guys have to be internally motivated, first off. And then they have to go out and see the fruits of their labor. See that they played well against the number five team in the nation, who's probably the second best team in the nation, or the third. So that's motivation in itself. And if you're not intrinsically motivated as a football player, you're probably not on the field anyway. You have to want it more than everybody else to even see the field at a Power 5 level.
And I'm going to go to a statement I made prior to the season. I think Penn State goes as Sean Clifford goes, and do you get good or bad Sean Clifford the rest of the way? All right, we need a winner, T. Frank.
Let's do Bob in Millerstown because he allowed me to change my opinion publicly.
All right. Good job there, Bob. We'll be getting in touch with you about your Penn State sweatshirt. T. Frank, that is it for quarter number three. Stick around. In quarter number four, we have Dustin Schutte talking all things Big Ten. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley, and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.